You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Please remain seated. Please. Oh, you're too kind. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to church. I believe God's got something powerful to speak into your life as we turn our attention to His Word. Grab your Bibles, if you will. We're going to spend some time in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. As we're doing that, I want to welcome in all of our friends watching online. High Ridge family, give a big warm round of applause to our friends watching from all around the world. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Many of you are on vacation. Many of you are suffering for the gospel in various exotic locations, and we hate all of you. I'm just kidding. We love you. We wish that you were here. Please send all of your tithe checks. Make that pay. I'm just kidding. Or am I? No, I'm just kidding. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to everybody that's here. I want to thank you for your generosity. You guys are an amazing, generous church. We were able to speak to a couple of different churches this past week and let them know that we are encouraging them to find some answers that they've needed. One of the things I love most about our church is that we believe that the healthy church is all of us growing together. And we reject that spirit of competition between churches. And we love to help those that are willing to ask for help. It's a difficult place for many churches to ask somebody else for help. And so when churches come to us, they know that they're in a safe place and we can get them help. And so we're able to send two different church staffs to a conference where they can find the resources that they need. And they are so extremely grateful. We're gonna have some videos and stuff of them being able to tell you at some point what they've learned and how much they appreciate your generosity. I love that I can spend your tithe money to encourage and bless a bunch of people that you may never see this side of heaven. And know that as the church gets healthy, as the church gets better, that we all get better. The city gets better. It's bigger than just us. It's bigger than just this group of people. But God is doing some amazing things across this country and across the ends of the earth. And we are proud to be a part of it and to love and support those who need our help. It's a big deal. And so thank you for being a generous church. Thank you for giving. Thank you for supporting us. It's making a big difference. And so I just want to say on behalf of those, thank you very, very much. We also have a couple of special guests today. This is Carl and Rhonda Begley sitting down here next to my wife. Would you guys honor them for just a moment with a big round of applause? Thank you for coming. The very first person I ever heard preach in my life was this man. So he was the very first pastor. He's the only pastor I've ever seen that stood up on his hands and did a handstand on the pulpit, which I'm going to attempt to do at the end of this sermon. So they just celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. And happen to be passing through on the way to Texarkana, so we just want to say, hey, welcome to Longview. Welcome to the heat wave. Welcome to the oven. We're glad that you're here. We've got air conditioning just for you as you travel. So thank you so much. You're highly honored here and appreciated and loved. So don't forget to say hello to them before you leave and tell them if you have any questions or complaints, it's their fault. That's where I learned it. So Philippians chapter 1, let's get serious. Let's get into God's word. I want to speak today along the subject line of some words that I've repeated more at this step of my life over the past 3 years than maybe perhaps ever. And these words are, I don't get it. I don't get it. I've learned that the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. The more that I think I know, the more I realize I don't know. I don't understand. What happens when life gives you these moments where you just don't get it? What happens when you come to the Lord, when you come to a relationship with Jesus, thinking that you're going to find answers? And in all honesty, there's a lot of answers that you're going to find here. But more often than not, you're going to get asked to trust. You're going to ask to trust in the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You're going to get asked to trust the truth of God's word when you don't understand. Life gets confusing. Come on, somebody. Life gets confusing. We live in some strange times. We live in weird times. There are times where I wasn't raised that way. I don't get it. I don't get why people would get on a submarine and go look at the Titanic. There are pictures online. You can look at pictures. That is not for me. Now, for some people that have this pioneering spirit, this sense of adventure, cool. Take a picture, send it to me when you're down there. I don't get that at all. That doesn't make any sense to me. These are confusing times. I don't get why there are people after the storms last week, people that live next door to you that have power when you don't. And it's like, God, are you mad at me? Why do we not have air conditioning? We are your beloved. Where are the apple of your eye? Why do they get power and we don't? What did I do? What sin have I committed? I don't understand it. You know, I had a new sense of appreciation for just for our city last week because I recognized how spoiled I've become. Moving here from the Metroplex and spending the majority of my life stuck in Dallas traffic, one of the things I love the most about Longview is we don't have traffic here. Don't tell me that we do. You don't know. But when the power went out, we had, you know, 4 or 5, 6 days without power. A lot of our traffic lights were out and the whole city became a big four-way stop. And I remember sitting there on the loop thinking, so this is what this city looks like. I'm always just breezing past this because this is one of the greatest things about this city. We don't have traffic here. No, we don't. But I remembered in those moments how many times I've sat there for hours and hours and hours in traffic, having to do my phone calls and meetings and FaceTimes and texts and just listen to the radio. Like, I had time for that because you're stuck, but not here. We live in confusing times. Last week, it got so hot here that you could tell which people had plastic surgery. It was weird. You know, you saw it. Things got a little weird here. I woke up a couple of days ago to a Russian civil war. I'm like, oh, what do we do? How does this affect us? Is this the time where we start hoarding toilet paper again? Because this is apparently what we do when times get weird. We hoard toilet paper. Don't act like you don't. We do. We do weird things when life gets confusing. What happens when you don't understand? It brings out some of the worst of us. It honestly does. I don't understand. Looking back on the past 3 to 4 years, just in my lifetime, the past 3 and 4 years have been the most confusing times in my life. Things that I thought I understood, I realized I didn't know. And I recognize that when you put pressure on our world, even as believers in Jesus Christ, we get weird when pressure comes on. Should it be that way? When we don't get it, should it bring out the worst of us? And it's amazing to me what happens in an election season. It's amazing to me what happens when you put pressure on people, when you put fear into our communities. What happens? Does it bring out the best of us more often than not? No, we're saying, I don't get it. I don't get it. And let me just remind you of this. Whether you've been walking with God for 5 minutes or for 50 years, you're going to walk through times of great confusion. You're going to walk through difficult times where you don't understand. You don't get it. And are there answers that we can find in God's word? Sure. Are there the answers that you want? More often than not, the Lord asks us to trust him. Do you trust me? Do you trust my leadership? Do you trust that I have a plan even when you don't? What happens when life throws you those moments where things get weird? What happens when life gets confusing? What happens when you don't understand, when the miracle doesn't come through? When the breakthrough is not there, when the thing that you prayed for doesn't seem to happen, what happens in those moments? I remember looking at my wife and just looking at the status of our world as we're walking through COVID and pandemics and through the racism and through all the masks and not masks and vaccines and not vaccines and the hatred on one side and the other. You're like, what in the world happened? I thought these people were my friends and I got to block everybody. You realize how good you can sleep when you start blocking everybody? I'm like, huh? Done. Like, these people are family. Not no more. Don't act like you didn't do it. We get weird. I'm confessing my sins here. We got weird. It's amazing to me what happens when pressure gets put up on our world. And what does it say about us as believers? When the tough times that we're walking through does not bring out the best in us, doesn't bring out the Jesus in us, but it brings out the things that we're ashamed of and embarrassed of. I've learned that we have to give people a little grace, don't we? We have to just choose to be kind. We have to choose to overlook offenses. And these are the moments where the power of God's word that's living inside of us has to be the thing that overrules the fear that we're having to walk through. And I know this, that life gets confusing. You're either walking through a confusing time now or you're about to. But either way, you're going to come to the end of what you know. We have to be able to go back to God's word and recognize that there's a few simple facts that God's word tells us and shows us how to behave in those moments. Here's what I know. Everybody's on a journey. Life is hard. We all need help. And if we can just start there and recognize that, hey, life is hard. You may be walking through things that I don't understand. I may be walking through things that you don't understand. We all need help. There's a reason why we came to church today. It's not to just show off that we got some new clothes. We all need help. Let's just start there. And so in Philippians chapter 1, There's some very unique things about this particular letter that Paul writes to the church. In general, when Paul writes a letter to a church, it's because the church is in crisis. Something has happened that Paul needs to address. And as a good apostle, as a good pastor, and as a good mentor of the pastors that were there, he begins to speak very directly. This is a problem. This is how you fix it. There's a crisis happening at this church, and this is what you're going to do. And Paul has to do that over and over again. Philippians is a little bit different because they're not in crisis. This is one of the few times that Paul is not writing in response to a crisis, but Paul is writing letting them know that he's the one in crisis. And this is difficult for us to grasp today because we just read it as an encouraging letter. But Paul is doing that because they're worried for him. Now recognize this, that as Paul is writing, he's letting them know that, hey, I know that you heard that I'm in prison, that I'm suffering, and it's true. Now that must be difficult for the church to process because they've seen miracle after miracle as God has shown them what happens when they get locked up. God brings earthquakes and God opens prison doors and people walk out in the middle of the night. God sends angels and all of a sudden it's not happening for Paul. Think about that. How in the world could our leader be in prison? And then Paul mentions that the person I was trying to send with the letter, the person that you guys love a lot, he's sick. And the Lord didn't heal him. Well, that's a little confusing because we're supposed to be surrounded by signs and wonders and there's been healings and the dead people have gotten up out of graves and lepers have gotten cleansed. Deaf ears have been opened. Blind eyes are seeing. How in the world is this person not recovered? So this is the unique position that we find Paul writing this letter to the church is what happens when they're confused. How could our leader be in jail? How could this person be sick and not be healed? What happens when God doesn't do what you think he was going to do? What happens when you don't get it? And so Paul writes these words to encourage them. And these are words that I feel like are to be internalized for us as believers today. Things that speak to us right where we are. He writes this. I want to pick it up in verse 27 and read through the next few verses. Here's the most important two words. Whatever happens. I want you to pay attention to those two words. Whatever happens. Would you say that with me just for a moment, if you would? Whatever happens. Whatever happens, whatever happens, whatever happens. Now, how could Paul say that? Isn't Paul prophetic? Doesn't he have this inside track with God? Doesn't God tell him what's going to happen? Sure. But in these moments, Paul's like, I don't know. I don't know. What do you know? I know that whatever happens, he says, you are to conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. If you're an underliner, if you have a paper Bible, you might want to underline that scripture. It's really important. When you're walking through confusing times, when God hasn't done what you think he should do, whatever happens, he says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those that oppose you. He says, whether I get out of jail or whether I don't, whether you get attacked or whether you don't get attacked, whether you're confused or whether you get answers. He said, watch the way that you live. Watch the way that you act. Stick together, he said. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle that you saw I had, and now here that I still have. In other words, God hadn't delivered me. I'm walking through some stuff. I appreciate your prayers. You're going to walk through some stuff too. I'll be praying for you. But he says, look, it's not about just whether or not you believe in Christ. He says, whether you're willing to suffer on behalf. And so Paul gives this message to them as they're worried about him. He brings them a list of things to do and to not do. Things to watch and to look out for. Things that still speak to us as believers today. I want to give you three things that I think are of critical importance. Things that the Lord would speak to us today as believers. Things that I believe we have to know whenever life gives us moments where we don't understand, where we don't get it. So if you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down if you would. Number one, when life is confusing, my conduct won't be. When life gets confusing, my conduct won't be. And notice how Paul begins the letter saying, hey, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Watch the way that you act. No, the outsiders are looking at you. They're walking through some stuff too, and they watch how you suffer. They watch what happens in times of confusion. You're setting an example for the world. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy. I think this is a big challenge for each of us because we've recognized over the past few years that when life gets difficult, we get weird. Things begin to come out of our mouth that probably shouldn't have happened. We recognize that our life is like a tube of toothpaste. And when you put a little pressure on, what's inside is going to come out. And sometimes you expect it to be toothpaste, and it was not. Like, how in the world did meatloaf get in there? That shouldn't be. But pressure will tell you the truth. It'll tell you what's really living on the inside, and it won't lie to you. A while back when my daughter was little, she thought she would play a prank on old dad, and she filled up my toothpaste tube full of cake frosting. Like white cake frosting. I brushed my teeth for 3 days with cake frosting. I remember sitting at my desk, goes, what in the world? This feels, getting that gritty, sugary, like sticky teeth kind of thing. You're like, this is the worst toothpaste of all time. I remember brushing my teeth next to my wife, and she's using her own toothpaste. And I'm like, what did you buy? What kind of toothpaste is this? And she knew about it, and my wife won't lie. She has this perfection thing going on where she just won't say anything. And she just like will stare at the wall. Like, I'm like, why won't you look at me? Because she's trying not to ruin the joke, but after 3 days, I'm like, this is the worst toothpaste of all time. I'm throwing this in the trash. And she's like, your daughter's pulling a prank on you. I'm like, I'll kill her. And then you start tasting, you're like, it actually tastes pretty good, but I wouldn't want to brush my teeth with it. But here's the thing, when you start putting pressure on that toothpaste tube, I wasn't expecting cake frosting to come out. What happens when life puts pressure on you? What comes out? Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And that's the mandate that we still have for ourselves as believers today. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter writes this to the church. He says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning any fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing was happening to you. Why do we do that? God, I'm walking through a difficulty in my marriage. God, I'm walking through difficult times in my finances. Lord, my job is just strange. How in the world could that be? I'm your beloved. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm called and chosen by Christ. How could anything bad ever happen to me? Peter says, don't think it's strange when you got to walk through some stuff as if something weird was happening to you. It's supposed to happen. You're supposed to have questions. Life is full of them. I found this to be true, that life will never make perfect sense this side of heaven. This ain't heaven. I don't get all the answers. I just get to be in relationship with the one that does know. Our life is going to be full of questions and pressure and meltdowns and warfare and drama and issues and trauma. Welcome to the real world. Paul says, whatever happens, you conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. It tells me this, that I'm not responsible for the world, but I am responsible for me. I'm responsible for me, my decisions. I'm reminded of the powerful time when Moses has led the children of Israel through the desert, and they've walked around a mountain for 40 years. They finally get to the place where they're about to cross over into the promised land that God had given them. They've literally taken their entire life, and he doesn't get a chance to make it. Now Joshua has to lead them across. Joshua leads them into the promised land. They get there. They divide all the land out, and then they're like, now what? We've spent our whole existence just trying to get here, and now we're finally here. What happens now? Can you imagine the confusion of everything that you thought was your purpose? All of a sudden, it's like we're in a life transition. What now? There's so many options. We could live like everybody else. We can be disobedient to the Lord. We could say, we finally arrived. We finally made it. We got a little money in the bank. We're good. Don't need to pray anymore. We've walked through the crisis. We've walked through the health scare. We've walked through this. Now I'm good. Joshua stands up, old man Joshua, and says, look, you can choose for you this day whom you're going to serve. You do whatever you think is best to you. He said, but as for me and my house, as for me, for my kids, my grandkids, we're going to serve the Lord. We found that our relationship with him is the one thing that keeps us steady and strong. We found that there is real power that comes from a relationship with him. You guys do what you want. As for me and my house, I'm not responsible for everybody else, but I'm responsible for me. So in times of great confusion, my life should not be confusing. I should know the one who has the answers and say, God, I don't understand, but I know that you do. Would you show me? I'm not responsible for everybody else, but I'm responsible for me. Paul says, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You still with me? Yes. Here's the second key I want to show you. What happens when I don't get it? Number two, when I'm confused, I will group and we will grow. I will group and we will grow. I want you to notice this. He says, you're supposed to stand firm in one spirit, striving together, together, together. And this is the big issue that we still have today as believers. When life gets weird, when life puts pressure on us, when we walk through moments and times where we don't understand, we will pull ourselves away from everybody else thinking, I can figure it out if I just get away from y'all. Paul says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do it. There's a constant pull for us to isolate, to try to figure it out on our own. And let me just remind you, in times of great confusion, the last person you want to take advice from is you. Confusion has a gravitational pull towards isolation. You're going to fight it, you're going to fight it, you're going to fight it. The desire to be by yourself. Paul says, don't do that. Do not do that. And I want you to recognize the enemy's attack, especially over the last 3 to 4 years, the enemy's attack to destroy unity. Recognize how many people we've had to block and pull away from. I've done it. You've done it. The relationships that have been destroyed when life gets confusing, when times get weird. We stop giving each other a little bit of grace. We stop forgiving. We stop being long-suffering and persevering. We got to separate. Got to pull away. Recognize what happens when we stop worshiping the Lord together as believers and we all have to go online. Lots of churches never recovered. People never came back because isolation is a tool that the enemy has used to destroy us. Paul says you're going to have to fight against that. Fight to stay together. And I think the reasons why we do it are many, but I think none of us really want to look foolish. We don't want to suffer in front of people. We don't want anybody to know what's really going on. There's pride. Like, come on. I don't want people to think I don't have it all together. What are people going to think if they knew that I was struggling? They would think you're normal. Yeah. We're all in this together. Let's give each other a little bit of a break here. Paul makes sure that he reminds us the importance of walking through this together. Let me put this on the screen so you can see it. Healthy Christians, according to Paul, will choose to stand together, strive together, and suffer together. We stand together. We work together, accomplishing more than any of us could ever accomplish on our own. He says, you also need to be able to suffer together. There are dozens and dozens of scriptures that we could go into talking about the power of unity, what happens when we work together. But yet, when times get weird, our first inclination, our first desire is, let me just get by myself. So when times get tough, what am I going to do? I'm going to group. I'm going to get with believers. I'm going to get with people that can speak into my life. People that I know have a good, strong relationship with the Lord. Now, you can just as easily get into a group of people that will only tell you what you want to hear. You can group with people that are negative. You can group with people that don't love the Lord at all. People that are just going to agree with you politically or with your opinion. You can do that. Or we can group together as the church, as believers, and say, we may not have it all worked out, but we're in this together. Healthy Christians stand together, strive together, even suffer together. I want you to look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says this, we are hard-pressed on every side. Notice the very first word, we. We. We're in this together. We're hard pressed on every side. But he said, we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We are all in this together. We say this, growth happens in groups. We want you in a group. We want you to find your tribe. Find a group of people that can speak into your life. I recognize that many of you are in this church today because you were previously part of a church that wasn't very healthy. I get that. And I know it's a common theme when I speak to many of you that you couldn't trust your pastor. You couldn't trust the leadership of your church because they weren't healthy. One of the things that is missing from our American version of Christianity is accountability and oversight. And so I've learned the beauty and the blessing that comes with people speaking into my life, people that can tell me the truth, people that love me enough to see things in my blind spots that I can't see or don't want to see. I've learned to intentionally place myself under the authority of other leaders because it saves you from me. Yeah. Now, you would not go to a church. You would not serve underneath the leadership of a church that you knew wasn't healthy. You knew that their marriage is not healthy, this church is not healthy, this pastor doesn't have a system of accountability. You wouldn't do that. But let me just make sure that you understand for a moment. You cannot have that kind of accountability for your church and not have it for yourself. You need the same thing. You require that of me. You should require it of yourself. I need people that can speak into my life and tell me the truth, even if I don't like it or don't want to hear it. That's what you want in a pastor. You should want it in yourself. Who are your people that you know love the Lord enough and love you enough to tell you the truth? To say, you are being weird right now. You are being cray-cray. Listen here, boo-boo. That ain't the way it works. You were there for me when I was struggling. It's time for me to be there for you. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You told me to stop it. Now I'm going to tell you, stop it. You need people that can tell you the truth, not just tell you what you want to hear. I need it. You need it. It keeps us healthy. Yeah. Growth happens in groups. It matters. Look at me. It matters who you're listening to. Yes. It matters who's speaking into your life. Now, not everybody needs to know your business, but somebody does. Yeah. Somebody does. Who is that? Does that person have a great and healthy relationship with the Lord? That's the kind of people I want speaking into my life. I look for it. I seek it out. I place myself underneath that authority. You need that for me. I need it for me. I need it for my marriage. I need it for my family. And so do you. It matters who you're listening to, who you're listening to. I'm reminded of a story. A group of frogs were hopping through the jungle one time. And it happened by some stroke of bad luck that two of them fell into a deep hole. And they're calling out for their friends, and their frog friends surround the lip of the hole, and they begin to call down to them, like, what happened? Like, I don't know what happened. Help us up. They're like, well, if we jumped into the pit, we'd be down there with you. Then we'd all be in trouble. And these two frogs are like, well, find us some help. How do we do this? Like, you just got to jump out. Come on. And so these two frogs start jumping with all their might. They're jumping and jumping and jumping with all their strength, and they jump for hours and hours and hours. And finally, all their friends are like, hey, just give up. Just give up. Stop wasting your energy. Make your peace with God. Lay down and die. Just stop. Just stop. Just quit it. And finally, one frog has enough, and he just lays down, gives up, and dies. They start telling the same thing to the other frog, but he just smiles bigger and keeps jumping higher. They're like, just stop. Your friend has died. Stop it. You're delaying the inevitable. And he would just smile and jump higher and keep jumping and keep jumping and keep jumping. They're like, just stop. You're wasting your energy. Just give up. Make your peace with God and die. He keeps smiling and keeps jumping and keeps jumping and keeps jumping. And finally, with the last of his energy, he hits the lip of the hole and climbs out. And they surround him like, didn't you hear us? We're telling you to stop wasting your energy. Just lay down and die. He said, actually, I didn't hear you. I'm deaf. I thought y'all were encouraging me. I thought y'all were cheering me on. Let me just remind you, you need people in your corner that can cheer you on. Sometimes you got to turn a deaf ear to the naysayers and just pretend they're encouraging me. But you need people that can encourage you, cheer you on. Say, you got this. Don't quit now. Keep jumping. In times of confusion, I'm going to group and we're going to grow. Here's the last thing I want to encourage you with and challenge you with. Number three, when life is tough, I will know I was made for this. I was made for this. There's something to be said for some believers that have walked through some tough times. When you develop some thicker skin, we're not as easily offended. We're not as self-conscious. When we've walked through some stuff, we start developing something that the Bible calls perseverance. We don't hear a lot of that in our world today. We hear more stories about creating some good boundaries so that you don't have to persevere through anything. Now, I'm all for boundaries. But there are times where you have no choice but to walk through this. You can't wall yourself in. You've got to walk through it. In times of great confusion, when life is tough, I will know that I was made for this. Paul says this. He says, don't be frightened by those that oppose you. Don't be scared of them. There are scriptures that remind us, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I'm not afraid of this. I was built for this. Let me remind you of this simple truth. We are supposed to be opposed. We have an enemy. It's perfectly normal to face opposition. If you're walking through difficult times today, let me just remind you, according to this Bible, you're in good company. Because there's not a single one that the Bible has anything good to say about that didn't walk through something. You're going to walk through yours. It may be different than mine. But in those moments where you're walking through it, I want to remind you, keep walking. Don't stop. Keep taking steps of faith. Lord, I trust you. I don't get it, but I trust you. I want to remind you, as the body of Christ, from the beginning of the early church all the way until now, we were built to persevere. We're built to last. We're built to do more than just get offended and stop coming to church because somebody didn't like your hat. I didn't like that song today, Pastor. It wasn't about you. We're built to last. Life is going to get tough, but as believers, we're given the word of God to help us know what to do when we don't know what to do. Let me remind you of this as well. We serve a mighty God who thoroughly equips us for every battle. You have all that you need if you have a relationship with Jesus. Well, how does he equip me? How does he help me in my hard times? Let me remind you of Romans chapter 8. It says, the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. If you have a pen or a highlighter, you might want to underline that scripture. This is a critical scripture in the life of believers. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Nothing else will help you like the Holy Spirit will. Nothing else will give you wisdom. Nothing else will give you the help. We'll be the advocate with the Father. Nothing else will give you the answers like the Holy Spirit will. Nothing. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And I want to remind you of perhaps the three most theologically perfect words that you could ever pray in any prayer. It's so simple. It's profound. It's literally something that from the very beginning of time, the early church has prayed a three-word prayer. The prayer is this. You ready? Look at me. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. I want to remind you of the power that happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. I want to remind you of the power that is inside of you when you call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, would you help me? Show me. I don't get it. So rather than lashing out in an argument, rather than giving people a piece of my mind, if you keep doing that, you're not going to have a lot of pieces left. And it's really hard to make a difference when you're busy trying to make a point. Holy Spirit, come. Put a filter on my mouth. I've had to pray that so much. I've got a mouth on me. I was born with it. I can't help it. I have a hard time. I get it. Without the Holy Spirit, I would offend a lot of people, a lot more than I even have today. Holy Spirit tells me things that I don't want to hear. Sometimes it's things like, shut up. Like, why don't you let me talk to them? Some of the most powerful things that I've ever seen happen in my life were when the Holy Spirit said, stop. Stop, let me do that. And I've realized in those moments, the Holy Spirit can accomplish way more than I ever could on my best day. With all of my brilliance and intelligence and great words and great arguments and cool thoughts. And if the power of the Holy Spirit's not speaking, it's just words. It'll do more damage than good. I think that's a powerful word for each of us to remember, Holy Spirit, come. And if you're not changing the situation, Lord, change me. Show me. Show me. You know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus was speaking to the early church, and he tells them something that's powerful. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Later on, Paul says to the church, you are to not be drunk with wine that leads to debauchery. You're to be filled with the Spirit. In the original language, it tells us very clearly that this is not a one-time experience. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Sure. But you are to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit today. I need the Holy Spirit in the line at the bank. I need the Holy Spirit when the power is out and I'm sitting at a four-way stop in Longview, Texas. Like, how did I get here? There's traffic. Oh, my gosh. Suffering for the gospel. I need the Holy Spirit to tell me, calm down. Calm down. Let the Holy Spirit give you power. This is how the Lord equips us to walk through difficult times. He has sent the power of the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. It's a matter of yielding to him. Lord, what are you saying? Holy Spirit, come, show me what to do. Show me how to do it, because I can't figure this out on my own. We still receive power today. It's not a one-time event. We still receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Where does the Holy Spirit come? When does he come? How does he come? He comes when he's invited. He speaks when he's invited. Lord, would you speak? Would you help me? Would you show me? Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Help me not to say things that hurt people. Show me what to say. Show me what not to say. But Holy Spirit, come. Let me leave you with this, that the Holy Spirit living inside of us gives us the strength to endure. When I don't get it, when I don't understand, when I don't have it all figured out, when I can't make sense of it, I can say, Holy Spirit, come. Show me. I may never understand this side of heaven, but I can find my peace from the Holy Spirit, and I can determine what is that next step. What would you have me to do? Am I to move forward? Am I to move backwards? Am I to stand still? Should I stand up and say something? Should I shut my mouth and say nothing? How do I know the difference? The Holy Spirit himself helps us in our weakness. We receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to know what to do and how to do it. Can you receive that today? Is that okay? I want to invite you right where you are. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? I think if I've done my job correctly today as a minister, that there's a prayer that you need to pray. You need to pray, Holy Spirit, come and ask him for wisdom. Ask him for help. Ask him for answers that you may be needing. You may have walked into this place with. Perhaps it's your marriage that needs help. Holy Spirit, come. If there's a financial burden that you're feeling, Holy Spirit, come. Perhaps you're worried about your children or your grandchildren that are away from the Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Maybe you're walking through a health crisis today and you don't know any answers. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, come. Show me what to do. Lord, I invite you to change the situation or to change me in the process. But Holy Spirit, come. Some of us need to be baptized again in the Holy Spirit. Some of us need a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. Some of us need the power that can only come when the Holy Spirit shows up. He comes where he's invited. I want to encourage you and challenge you, beg you today, invite the Holy Spirit to come. Lord, come. Holy Spirit, come. I think it's appropriate that as we're praying for the Holy Spirit to come, if you might not be able to hear it online, but it's beginning to rain all across this incredible heat wave that we're having. Holy Spirit, rain. Rain down. Washing away the old. Bringing the new, bringing health and help and relief to our dry and weary and parched souls. Holy Spirit, come. Let it rain. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to just pray for you right now. If you're walking through a difficult season, if you're finding yourself in confusing times, if you would be honest enough to admit that, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to just ask you, would you just lift up your hand all across this place? Pastor, I'm in a confusing time right now. I'm not sure what to do. We've got some things we're battling through. Can I just see your hand all across this place? If you're watching online, would you go ahead and click that in the chat and say, that's me, you're speaking to me. Yeah, many, many hands all across this place. Wow, there's more hands lifted than aren't. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that this would be a day where your Holy Spirit would come. Would you release the power of your Holy Spirit right now to bring clarity where there was confusion, to bring hope where there was hopelessness, to bring light where there was darkness, Lord, to bring life where there was death, in the midst of confusion and chaos, in the midst of worries and anxieties, in the midst of pain and suffering, in the midst of all the things that we have to walk through, Lord. If you're not going to change the situation, then Father, change us in the process. We invite you into every part of this. Father, I pray that we would conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, that that we would do exactly what you've asked us to do, no more, no less. Father, I pray that we would have the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to walk through whatever you're asking us to walk through. We just say yes. We trust you. Can you say that with me, believer, all over this place? We trust you. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I don't get it. I don't understand, but I trust you. I don't have it figured out. I trust you. I don't know, but I trust you. Father, we trust that you're going to get the glory from all of this. When it's all said and done, you'll be glorified. When it's all said and done, it's for you. We thank you in advance for the breakthroughs that are coming. In Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I need a relationship with Jesus. I am so far from God. I need to come home. If that's you, I want you to know that you're here for a reason today. God led you here for a reason. And he wants you to respond to him. Maybe you're watching this today and saying, Pastor, I need a relationship with Jesus. How do I do that? I want to lead you in a prayer right where you are. Pray with me. I'll tell you what to say. It would be my great honor to help you. It starts with a prayer. Say this right where you are. Just say, Jesus. Come on, pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe that you did that so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. Would you please forgive me? I invite you into my life. Take over. I give my life to you right now in Jesus' name. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer, would you do me a favor all over this place? Would you just look up at me and slip your hand up and say, that was me, Pastor. I prayed that prayer with you. Good, I see you. I prayed that prayer with you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Yes, young lady. I see you. Good for you. Anybody else? I just prayed with you, Pastor. I did. I said that prayer. Good for you. Yes, sir. I see you. Good for you, young man. For those of you that just prayed that prayer and perhaps you're watching online and you just prayed that with me, I would be so honored if you would not stop where you've come to this place now. I want to ask you to keep going. I've got another step for you if you don't mind. I want to challenge you with something. On the screen that you're watching, on the screen behind me as well, is a number appearing right now. The number is 844-HRC-TEXT. I want to invite you to text me. Text the words, I prayed, to that number. It's on the screen behind me. It's on the screen that you're watching at home. If you will text me, I'm going to send you some things that are my free gift to you. I just want to help you in your walk with Jesus. I want to help you understand what just happened and what you are to do next. See, this isn't the end of your relationship with Jesus. This is the beginning. And it would be the greatest honor of my life if you would let me help you to keep walking with Jesus. Good for you. Good for you. I'm proud of you. For everybody else, would you go ahead and look up at me if you would, then stand to your feet. For all of you watching online, would you do me a huge favor? On the bottom of your screen, there's a word that says share. If you would click on that share icon and share this message with your friends, it is a huge blessing when we see the amount of people that have shared this message and where it goes. It literally goes all around the world with the gospel of Jesus. I believe that everybody is walking through some confusing times. They need this word. And if you would do me a huge favor of sharing this message with your social media world, it would be a great honor to me. I would consider it a personal favor if you would do that for me. Thank you so much. We also have our elders and their wives that are going to step forward at this time, and they're going to remain here as the service ends to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. Also, over the next few weeks, you're going to notice we have some guest worship leaders that are coming in and some of our in-house worship leaders that are going to be leading as Pastor Chris and Julie take a much-needed sabbatical. These guys have worked hard. They're going to be on a break. I just want to make sure that we told that to you so you don't think I ran them off or that they did something wrong. And it's sad that I have to say that, but in these ages, you know, you'll watch church and then all of a sudden, like, that dude's gone. Like, what happened to that guy? Like, that's the one of which we do not speak. Nothing like that. So they are well-deserving of rest, and we want to bless them. We believe that healthy churches believe in rest. And so that's not just a word for us as your leaders. You want a healthy church. I want that for you as well. So if you need to hear that from your pastor, do not work yourself to death this summer. It's hot out there. Rest. Make sure that you rest. And so please hear that from me. Take some time. Intentionally rest. It's good for you. It's biblical, by the way, to rest. And so for everybody else, I want to bless you and send you out and tell you just thank you for tuning in today. So let me pray for you and bless you. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week following after you, listening to your Holy Spirit and being led in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week and we will see you next time.